Bush invasion. We are here in full force. Hopefully the boys can get the job done. All we need is for Sundowns to draw or lose, Pirates to win, and the league is ours. We have painted Orlando Stadium black. We are taking this league. Today is the day. We are lifting the league up the box.
2 hours later.
Hey, disappointing end, guys. Unfortunately, Sundowns did beat Free State Stars, despite Pirates playing their hearts off. I mean, that must be possibly the best Pirates game I've seen in a very, very, very long time. Possibly the best Pirates game I've seen in a long time. I mean, the goals were excellent. The goals were really on Barcelona level, you know, but wasn't to be. Unlucky. The guys played all season. The guys played all season, and it just didn't fall their way. So, yeah, congrats, Sundowns. PSL champs back-to-back. And I guess next season for Pirates. But, yeah, it was a good fight, gents. Good fight. Really good game. And, hey, man, hopefully maybe there's an appeal with the whole Sundown situation. And, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But I'm proud of the boys. They really played well. Good game, good spirit. 3 goals. I'm going home happy. I mean, we lost to a very good team in the end in terms of the league. You know, congrats to Sundowns. Big up the Pucks.
Hello and welcome to Pitch Invasion, the Champions Edition. And if your team isn't a champion by this stage, yeah, then forget about it. Wait until this time next year as well. So congratulations to Mamelodi Sundowns in South African football. And of course, Liverpool. Haha, no. Manchester City in England. Sorry, that was aimed at Emeka and all Liverpool fans who were talking about hashtag 19. It's not going to happen here. Not while Manchester City are alive. I'm very happy to say that. Terrible to say it as a United fan, but still very happy indeed. And a lot to talk about today, including what has happened in South African football with a certain big team. Well, I don't know if they still are. Finishing ninth. Another big team finishing second, having claimed that they've won the title about a month ago. There's still a lot to talk about in that sense as well with Orlando Pirates, because who knows, by this time next week, they might be crowned champions off the football field. But we'll touch on that and so much more on today's episode. Just to remind you, my name is Luazi Sikubu.
Kola Magwaza coming in from behind starts up.
My name is Emeka Inyadike. It's season's over and not on top of the table, but it's okay.
Empty-handed.
We go again. June 1, come on.
Empty-handed.
I saw a tweet that had Virgil van Dijk in goals, and he was saving, I thought it was a free kick or something, and the question was, what can't Virgil van Dijk do? And the answer was win the league. Oh, goodness.
Let me not laugh.
Still, 20 times English champions, Manchester United. Anyway, let's start with the drama that took place the final day of the ABSA Premiership. Mamelodi Sundowns in Bethlehem, Orlando Pirates at home against Polokwane City. And Ola keeps going on about, oh yes, you know, great game. We scored 3 goals, best game that Pirates have played all season. I'm saying to you, playing against the Polokwane City side that had already confirmed their top 8 status. They started their third choice goalkeeper. So of course you're going to have fun watching your team play end of season football. It was end of season football, man.
It was end of season football where Pirates needed to win and hopefully Sundowns draw. So there was a lot at stake. It wasn't as basic as, you know, you put it out there to be. I mean, there was really a lot to play for. And I mean, credit to Pirates. I mean, for them, that was a cup final, essentially. And, you know, they needed to.
Cup finals, the last one they played, they lost to Morocco as well.
So yeah,
I'm not holding back today.
You know, they needed to put out a strong finish. Look, it was also the final game of the season at home as well. So, you know, you also want to send off the home crowd, you know, in the last game at home with something to cheer about. And the goals were fantastic. I mean, Vincent Pule's goal, to be honest to you, for me, that is a serious contender for goal. If not goal of the season, right?
Closed.
At least it has to be in there for the Puskas Award. That goal was incredible.
Yes, I'm putting that in there. See what I mean?
Yes, I'm putting Vincent Pule's goal in the Puskas Award.
They clutch at straws. How is that?
And I mean, you should have seen the atmosphere in the stadium we're sitting there, we're watching the game, and we had our phones on live score trying to check, you know, did Sundown score? You know, what's the score? And then, you know, they scored apparently 1 minute before halftime, and you know, everybody was like, damn it.
And then there was a big cheer because we all thought Free State Stars had scored. And everybody was going nuts. And then come to find out that the goal was ruled offside. And I still haven't seen that. So I need to see if that really was offside. But, you know, credit, like I said, to Sundowns. I mean, they really, you know, they were fighting on all fronts with also the CAF Champions League. And they went to the wire with both trophies. And, you know, I think I have to take my hat off to Pizzo Mosamani. And, you know, I was critical of Pizzo at the Bafana job, but you know, over the years since he's left that post, I've come to see that the Bafana job is more complex than it seems on the, you know, from the outside. It doesn't seem like the coach has full autonomy to sort of make his decisions and, you know, put his place, you know, his plans in play,
yeah,
and so forth. So maybe he was hamstrung a bit in the Bafana setup, and maybe his coaching genius couldn't come out. But since he's come to Sundowns, I mean, the guy's, you know, won Champions League and nearly got, you know, another star there. And you have to take your hat off to him, because I think when you look at the context of South African football, I mean, half of our coaches are foreign coaches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some of our most successful coaches are foreign coaches. And here's a South African coach who's leading the line from the front with success, with organization, stability. I mean, we see coaches getting fired within 2 minutes of walking into a door in South Africa. And Pizzo has stood the test of time. And this, to me, honestly, elevates him on a level that I think, you know, you can put him up there with the Ted Dimitris who've won titles with Pirates and Sundowns. This puts him up there. I mean, I saw reports already with some of the big teams in Africa hunting Pizzo.
And that's the thing about him. I mean, I was about to add to say that as well. He's earned the respect of the continent. I mean, you see now when Sundowns go and play in the CAF Champions League and they play, you know, North Africa or West Africa or wherever they play, Pizzo Mosamane is a man that they take seriously now, and his tactics, his teams. And that's, again, that's something you can credit Pizzo Mosamane was doing during this time at Sundowns. Again, champion of South Africa.
I tell you what, I got a couple of weeks ago, I got a call from a friend of mine who's an agent in Europe. He's in Scandinavia, and he was asking after Pizzo. You know, what is the...
What, you want him to go coach Vikings FC?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, the thing is, I didn't ask him any questions. He just wanted to know what my thoughts were, I told him what he's achieved in Africa, and you know, to win the league the way he did, competing, because you know, in the past the Champions League used to be played in such a way that, you know, you had time to play it and skip.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's almost integrated into the league season, so yeah, it was a really, really tough run for Sundowns, and they kept their nerves through it all. And
I want to ask a question. If we can spend 10 seconds just trying to look back on the season and trying to understand where and how they won it, what would you sort of pick? What was the one defining moment?
October against Bidvest-Wits. That's where Mamelodi Sundowns won this title. Let's get that clear.
Pirates fans.
They won that title when they played Bidvest-Wits. That's exactly where it is. I've answered that question.
You've answered that.
That's where they won the title.
Why is it that nobody said anything about it until now?
That's my thing.
Because that's the thing, you know, at the end of the day, it really brings a big question mark on some of this drama, which is why we're where we are.
Yeah.
You know, for two seasons running, we've had cases of you know, people in authority not being able to take the early decisions in the league. And it's something that you don't see with either the Bundesliga or any of those leagues. And for the quality of the PSL, we need to ensure that going into next season, they need to look at the rules again and say, rules are rules.
If you break them,
pay, you know.
I just thought about something now. We saw that that issue with Bloem Celtic and Cape Town City, how quickly it was resolved with Celtic.
10 days.
Now, can we read too much into the fact that the teams that have been involved in these sagas over the past two seasons have just so happened to involve some of the bigger sort of stakeholders in South African football in terms of the personnel, the individual personnel?
You know what, you could look into it, but I think at the end of the day, it just boils down to a rule has been broken, punishment has to be served, right? And we just don't know anything at this point in time in terms of, I just want to see the rule. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I've been asking for, is to see the rule. Because my other... let me just say, the other thing that worries me more about this situation is the angle of Bidvest, because, you know, I'm assuming that that result goes to them as a 3-0 win, right? And giving Wits the 3 points, let's say that decision was made some 2 months ago. I mean, if you had given them 3 points, who knows? Maybe they get boosted and they think, guys, we're still in this. Yeah. And they play even better. But they're not saying anything. So it's really a tough one for me.
I mean, you add the 2 points, I guess, that they would have gotten from that decision.
And then plus, the Champions League,
plus,
possibly.
Plus that goal that should have been given against SuperSport United. Then they are top of the table.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I hear exactly what she's saying. But look, in looking to, I guess, maybe deal with the confusion that not only us, but pretty much the majority of South African football is still currently experiencing, we've got a man on the line, Sibusiso Dube, who is a lawyer and deals with disputes, if I'm not mistaken, Sibusiso. And we just want you to just to clarify for us where exactly it is that we stand with this situation, because we heard rumors that there was meant to be a hearing on Friday before the end of the season. It didn't happen. But as it stands, Mamelodi Sundowns are champions of the league. But there is a rumor, there is also a fear that that could change.
Sure, gents. Thanks for having me, man. I think essentially right now, the entire country is still confused as to what exactly the position is, because as you well know, or as you've mentioned already, the appeal to SAFA was supposed to take place last week Friday.
Yeah.
However, SAFA felt that the appeal was not urgent and they didn't need to deal with it on an urgent basis because the PSL had taken so long to actually do anything about the matter. So essentially, if there was any urgency, it was self-created. So sitting here today, the question really is, now that we know the results, now that we can see the log and Sundowns is ahead of Pirates by 2 points, you know, is there any merit in really proceeding with that appeal and insisting that points should be deducted from Mamelodi Sundowns? Or is it a situation of just letting it be? You know, the season has ended. Let things be. Wits are not fighting this. Pirates are not fighting this officially.
I'm glad you say that.
But Sibusiso, can I ask something?
Yeah.
I just want to find out something. You know, you said something interesting, you know, regarding the urgency and, you know, letting this be. They didn't let it be because Sundowns were fined 250,000. So, what is the basis of that fine? Because I now want to know, and I'm asking this as a Pirates fan, right? I now want to know, what is the basis of fining them, right? So, they've broken a rule. So, the does the rule state that they should only be fined?
All right. So if you look at the National Soccer League rules, as well as the National Soccer League handbook, which is essentially what governs what happens in our soccer, they don't prescribe a mandatory sanction for the offense that was committed by Sundowns, right? So there are no mandatory sanctions except where there's misconduct against match officials. So the rules will say something along the lines of the disciplinary committee can impose any one or a combination of the following, and then it will lift the sanctions. And the sanction that it's listed, which is applicable here, would have been a fine.
Okay.
But so, what about the fact that, you know, there was an ineligible player? Because I think that's the key thing here, is that, you know, an ineligible player played. I mean, ineligible could be a guy that's suspended, guy that's not registered, you know, a guy that's not on the team sheet. So is there anything in the rule book regarding that?
Yeah. Right. And I assume you're asking that because of what happened to AX Cape Town last year. Now, So the rule book does not say anything specific, right? It just lists the contravention. So this is the contravention. You need to have 18 players. You need to submit a list of 18 players 60 minutes prior to kickoff, and that list cannot be altered, right? So that's what they've contravened. Right. And as a result, they then field someone who was sitting on the stands and not on the list, and but, which then makes him an illegible player for that particular game.
Sorry to buttons, Musiso. right? Yeah. I hear that. So the rule says you cannot field an ineligible player for whatever reason. What is the or else? What is the repercussion if you do? That is, I think, that's the key thing.
So each case will be decided on its own particular circumstances. Mm. There's no one and for all, you know? And from what I've seen, it doesn't seem like the PSLDC is bound by previous decisions. So they look at each case based on the circumstances of that case. Yeah. But I think what's important to note here is that there's quite a material difference between this case and the AX case.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it makes a good sense that, and I mean, just based on your professional sort of point of view, is this something that is worth following up on? Is this something that the PSL, you know, is it worth them following up on, again, based on the fact that the season has come to an end? And despite if they did follow it up and the decision they make, let's say it does go Pirates' way, the bitter, the absolute bitter taste it would leave on South African football as a whole. Is it something that you feel is worth being followed up?
Yeah. So what's the reason behind the PSL pursuing this in the first place?
Yeah.
So if they pursuing this from a principle point of view where they feel that, look, this team didn't deserve to win that game, then they should still pursue it, irregardless or irrespective of what the end result is going to be.
Mm.
But what's going to be interesting is the PSL is pursuing the angle of points being deducted from Sundowns, which is different from Sundowns forfeiting the game.
Mm.
Now, I think it's going to be very difficult to justify why points should be deducted. At the very least, or at the most, what I think needs to happen if the PSL were to be successful, for me, the worst-case scenario is Sundowns forfeits the game against Wits, and that only results in 1 point being deducted from them, and they still win the league anyway. But it seems as if what the PSL is pushing for is points to be deducted, which could mean that it's more than 1 point that is deducted. But again, that's going to be very difficult. And if we look at the AX game once again, you know, AX forfeited their game where they fielded an ineligible player.
Yeah.
So at worst, Sundowns should forfeit that game, which would mean 1 point is deducted. They still win the league anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, actually, it's a great point you make there, because I was going to ask about the fact that it wasn't a win for Sundowns on the day, it was a point. So, again, at the very least, they should take a point away from them, the point that they got from the game, and not three.
Yeah.
You know, which, not three. Yeah, if they did take the point away, Sundowns would still win the league. So
I tell you why I disagree with that. I tell you why I disagree with that.
Please tell us, Pirates fan.
Right. You know, for me, right. Look, there's a reason why they called up Wayne Arendse there. He's a defender. So his presence his presence in a drawn game could be the reason why Wits didn't score, right? And he's one of their best defenders. So for me, I'm looking at it this angle, that if Wayne Arendse had come on in the last 4 minutes of the game or in extra time for Pisto to hold on to a draw, I can understand it. But the guy played the game in an influential position that stops the opposition from scoring. Right?
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And that's why I make the point that at worst, Sundowns should forfeit this game. And them forfeiting this game means they lose 1 point. Wits win 3-0. It doesn't change the league.
No, we want them to. We need 3 points.
Of course
there.
You do.
We need 3 points.
Of course you do.
We need them to lose.
You're literally bringing your Arsenalisms into this Pirates, you know, picture. But I think so. Thank you very much for again just sharing some light as far as this is concerned, and we certainly hope that those who are listening, you know, they get a bit more clarity as well, because again, it's still just terribly confusing. But after you know, listening to you, we certainly are in a better position going forward. Thanks once again, and I just want to ask you before we let you go: are you invested in English football as far as your team, your favorite team in England?
Oh, please, let's not go there.
Okay.
So that's United. Sixth place. Goodbye, sixth place.
Are you a United fan?
Goodbye, sixth place.
Unfortunately, yes.
I die with you, man. I die with you, as am I. But it's okay. It's okay. Thank you.
All your opinion from earlier have become null and void.
Thank you very much, Busiso. Great chatting and catching up with you.
All right. Thanks, Jen. All right. Thanks, gents.
Cheers. That is Busiso Dube, and certainly has put us in a much better place when it comes to this dispute. Probably Amika and myself, as far as Oil is concerned, is still fighting tooth and nail. For 3 points. It's not going to happen, Ola. You guys were destined to finish second once again.
You are listening to the Pitch Invasion podcast, the podcast for football tribalists.
Now, on the other side of the standings in the ABSA Premiership, there was, five teams going to the final day who could have all ended up being relegated. In the end, it was meant to be Free State Stars. I'm not sure I saw that one coming, but they are no more in South Africa's top flight.
I honestly didn't even see Free State Stars on the radar of relegation, to be honest with you. I'm busy there, you know, worrying about Black Leopards, Chipa, and Maritzburg. And, you know, before you know it, I didn't even bother to look at the permutation of Free State Stars if they lose.
They were there. The thing was just simply that especially when the final fixture was against Sundowns, who needed to win to.
And before that, they played the Pirates.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so.
And Black Leopards also as well. Yeah. Remember, the Black Leopards result also hinged on them as well. Mm. So I honestly didn't see the Free State coming. And you know, I have to give praise to Eric Tinkler, because I mean, the guy literally came in as a dead man walking.
Yeah.
You know, because that job, you know, he was pronounced dead upon arrival. And you know, for the turnaround he's done, I mean, they went a good spell where they hadn't lost. And I mean, in the last three games where they knew that, listen, if we lose today, we're out. I haven't seen Maritzburg not only play like that, but the crowd that turned up. You're asking yourself, where was this the whole season, guys? And obviously, they're not out of the woods yet because they still have to go through a playoff. But I mean, that's a lot better than automatic relegation. And Chipa United, hey, I mean, they started off the season before the first game with like 2-3 coaches. And, you know, they're ending the season, you know, still in the PSL. That is another great escape for them. Black Leopards, I think them surviving was also big, you know, because that fan base in Toronto is a great atmosphere there. So them surviving
and keeping the growth of Limpopo football.
Yes, you know, and I just fear. Can I give you a premonition here? I just fear that Free State Stars go down, and then this talks of Moroka Swallows coming back and buying their status, you know, comes up again, and then that's the end of Free State Stars. Because that's what they threatened last time, but Free State Stars survived.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to possibly come back again with, you know, a possible, you know, takeover somewhere. And if you
think about it, before we touch on Maritzburg a bit more, there's now rumors of Ajax wanting to buy Bloem Celtic, which means if that goes through, then literally Bloemfontein all of a sudden has absolutely no team.
And that's a disaster because, I mean...
I wonder why anyone would want to do that, because, I mean, Celtic's just...
But, I mean, they're not being run properly. I think that's just a big issue.
Well, I mean, look, find investors into the city. That's, for me, before this Sundowns resurgence, Bloemfontein Celtic were the team.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Paris and Chiefs with the magical fan base.
Yeah.
And you know, it goes to what I keep saying about African teams and their inability to embrace fan engagement. Because it's, you know, people don't realize that Kaiser Chiefs and Pirates, they won the war of fan engagement when they had to go to the townships and go around and create local supporter base and all of that. But in the era and age of digital media, you've got to be able to take it a step further. And I haven't seen Celtic do that.
And I mean, here's the other disappointing thing with Celtic. I mean, this is the module that I like in America. And, you know, I think they also adopted in the UK, where the dual sports cities, you know, or the multi-sport cities. I mean, rugby in the Free State is massive. And I'm thinking to myself, is there no way they could have pulled some of that fan base in the rugby community? Hey, you know, we've also got a decent soccer team in here. Come and watch, come and support. And I mean,
I don't think they needed to do that.
But to expand, Celtic, that
Celtic
base.
Celtic has a base, and they have people who do not even live in the Free State, who, because how far is the Free State from Gauteng? You know, it's got a border.
Like 4 or 5 hours.
So people do not realize how much you can engage with fans. If I grew up in the Free State and I live in Johannesburg, and you know that was the team I was supporting,
yeah,
that the way I can connect to them is via the social networks. If you look at the connection that the African fans of Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool, they were as engaged with the team and all the happenings from the final day of the Premier League as the fans that were there. You know, I remember looking at the build-up, and there was 2 fans that flew from South Africa, and they said they spoke to them at Anfield outside the stadium, and they said they flew 17 hours to get there.
Only to watch no trophy.
No, I mean, the point I'm making is that's how you connect with your fans. You'll have fans who will say, okay, look, I haven't watched the team the entire season. We've got our final league game. I need to be there in person. I mean, it's like what happens when you got the Nedbank Cup final in Durban, and fans of teams make it a point to troop all the way to Durban to watch their teams. We're not doing enough of that in this league.
Well, you guys have touched on the whole, you know, I guess multi-sport cities. And if you look at the Cheetahs themselves, they're struggling a bit now. I mean, they're playing Pro 14 rugby. So how big of an impact is it going to be if with the Cheetahs struggling at the moment and then they lose 2, you know...
That's Free State...
Free State,
look at it this way. When, you know, we're going to roll back the years here. When Umtata Bushbucks just left the league,
yeah,
Eastern Cape football was in a mess for well over a decade. Well, I know they tried. What's that team where Sven Goran Eriksson's son managed at some point?
In PE?
Yeah, it was in PE. Gosh, I'm forgetting the name.
It
will come back to me. But, you know, when the whole Nelson Mandela Bay, you know, revamped and the stadium and so forth. I'm forgetting the team name now, but we'll get back to it, you know. And the point that I'm making is that, you know, regional sports in our country, you know, there is a bit of an economic boost as well there. Because, I mean, you look at Pretoria, for example. You know, you look at Sundowns. You look at the Bulls. The success those franchises have had over the last, you know, the Titans in cricket. You know, sport really drives communities, you know, in that region. And I think that the team that I'm confusing... Benoni Premier United at some point, but then... It became Bay United. That's it. Bay United. That's the team I'm thinking about, right? It took like nearly 2 decades until Bay United came along after Mthatha Bushbuck. So you're looking at Free State football. And here's the other interesting impact of this is that, you know, talent is spread around the country. So what happens to these young, talented Free State boys who are good at football? Who's going to go all the way to Free State to scout them when there's no professional setup? Yeah. There's no, you know, sort of setup leading towards the professional angle or let's say
point. I was quite pleased to see the turnout for the cheaper game.
Yes, but where's that been the whole season? So I think it would be devastating, you know. Well, obviously Free State Stars gone. So I think the league also has to look at it this way. They cannot allow, you know, Ajax, who, let's be fair, you know, messed themselves up, you know, in finding themselves out of the PSL, and Bloem Celtic, who survived. And then get chucked out. It just doesn't make sense.
But at the end of the day, I mean, just, I guess, mismanagement, you know, this is my feeling. Mismanagement, we need to stop sort of rewarding mismanagement, you know. And you look at Chipper United, and look, congratulations to them for staying up. But how many seasons has been exactly the same story where literally mismanagement, you know, up until the end of the season, they stay up, you know. And there's nothing to say that's going to change come next season. So you look at Celtic and how... You know how poorly some of their players have been treated. I mean, again, this is nothing that we are, you know, exposed to, like, you know, face to face. But you hear stories of how poorly their players have been treated, how poorly the staff members have been treated, and how poorly the team is run. And again, we are not. It doesn't seem like anything is being done to actually ensure that, you know, there's at least a warning to.
But you know who suffers the most? The poor players.
That's what I mean, the poor players.
Because the owner, if they buy him out or they fall under administration, right, he cashes in on the insurance of some sort and gets the bailout, and then he's gone. And then you've got, what, an entire club. We're talking staff. We're talking bus drivers. We're talking, you know, massage therapists, physio people. We're talking all sorts of people in the backroom staff plus the players who are out of jobs because of that. So it's huge that Free State Stars, Bloemfontein Celtic, you know, get their act together. And also now you've mentioned with Chipa United, hopefully, you know, they can see that, listen, our, you know, community, as in the club's community, people's jobs, people's salaries, you know, families, we support these people. So we have to do our due diligence in making sure that, listen, we stay stable and we're able to, you know, run a functional club, because there are people that work here, people's lives depend on the success of this team. So it will be sad if Bloemfontein, because let's face it, if Ajax come and buy Bloemfontein Celtic, right, they're clearing out. Right, they're bringing their own players and they're going back to Cape Town.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened with Black Aces. So,
yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I guess that's really the story that we have to keep a close eye on between now and the start of next season. 3 whole months, guys. Wow, it's just going to be such a long, long wait. But hey, we've got COSAFA Cup and AFCON to keep us entertained as well. And speaking of AFCON, this is a comment that Percy Dow, for those who don't know who Percy Dow is, a diminutive man with a big heart and a fantastic talent. He made this comment after winning the player of the season
in the second
division over in Belgium. You know, I mean, I guess because the question has now been for a very long time, where is he going to play next season? What is he still doing in the second division of Belgium? And his comment was, how I perform at AFCON will say a lot about, you know, where my future is for next season. And I found that to be such a great comment to make from someone who, you know, should be at this stage of his career, enjoying the accolades that are coming in, you know, enjoying the exposure that he's getting, both in South Africa, both in Africa, and of course in Europe as well. But he made a very good comment there, because I think we can all agree that he should not still be playing Belgian second division football next season. But there's Brighton, his home team.
Just a bit of breaking news on Brighton. They have just sacked Chris Hughton.
Yeah, they have. So
That's the guy that brought him. So now,
there's that.
Man. But I don't think that we should not be too worried. I mean, look, Percy Tau, one season was playing, was not even anywhere near the league, and then he played it in MDC, and all of a sudden he was playing and winning the Champions League and playing for Bafana and scoring goals, and then he's in Europe. You know, maybe it's a good adjustment for him that last season, because first of all, he's been signed by a Premier League team. He probably doesn't have enough in his caps to make it into the work permit and all of that stuff.
If I'm not mistaken, there's a special permit that you can get if the team does submit.
If you are a special talent, which he is.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he has gone to Belgium, where he has proven himself. He's got the opportunity to focus on Bafana for the next 2 months. Hopefully, drive Bafana beyond the group stage into the knockout stage. There'll be other clubs watching. With what I saw him do in Belgium, even if it's second division, It shows a player who is comfortable wherever. Take him anywhere. Take him to the World Cup.
To Celtic or something.
You know, he will do well. So I think that Brighton most definitely will bring him, because Brighton lacks that kind of cutting edge in their team. And I think that once Percy gets his chance, maybe he does pre-season with Brighton. Whoever is the new coach that they have, and I hope it's a coach that's not as direct as the English coaches, probably get one of these really good coaches that want to play football, then he will get his chance. So I think that all of these concerns are misplaced. I have no problem with him playing in the second division. Your first year in Europe, you need adjustment. Some players have moved. They moved to big clubs and they found themselves, you know, lost. So he's got one season under his belt where he's adjusted to life in Europe.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be fine.
I think the other thing that with Percy Dow, where he can put a feather in his cap, is that, you know, back-to-back play of the seasons in different continents. That's not easy, irrespective of it being Belgian second division. That is really something that, you know, puts scouts.
If I have one regret, is if he was there yesterday, I'm sure Brighton would have beaten City and we would be league champions.
But, you know, just going back to my final point on Percy Tau is that, you know, that comment that he made says where the guy's confidence is. And I just hope for his sake that he just is able to just knuckle down and say, listen, the big leagues are up here in Europe.
Yeah.
Whether I go back to the Premier League or not, that's not out of my hands, but this is my landing spot and I'm ready to take on the world. And I think that's the sort of attitude and spirit that a lot of our, you know, players locally, you know, are lacking.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we just had Deko Modise retire, over the weekend. You know, shout out to Deko. He was had a fantastic career. I just can't help think that the Percy Tau before Percy Tau, was Deko Modise all those years ago. And, you know, he just never took that plunge. And who knows what could have happened? I mean, I know the one knock that, you know, scouts, you know, that have told me personally they've had on Southern African players was just our frame and our build were smaller players. But then I watched the Iniestas and Xavis of this world tear up, you know, the rest of the world. And I think that's the sort of style of play or mold of players that we have in our country. So I look at Percy Tau and I'm thinking, you know what? There's still, you know, countries out there where his sort of style of play and, you know, what he brings to the game will be much greatly appreciated. And I think I look at a club like Rangers in Scotland, right? The owner of Rangers is Scottish, but, you know, resides in South Africa. And I'm thinking I wouldn't be surprised if he picks wind. And I know he's a football fan. He picks wind of, hey, you know, Percy Tau, Steven Gerrard, can you just have a look at this guy? He's from my, you know, where I come from. Yeah. Just plug him in there. So I think there's still enough for Percy Tau to just still flourish in Europe outside of the Premier League. And I'm glad that he's taken that responsibility or that he's shown that courage to say, you know what, I actually want to plant my flag here and I'm not running back to Sundowns to come and cash in.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we certainly do wish him all the best as far as his personal career is concerned. Of course, we'll be watching closely.
I'm looking forward to AFCON because of Percy Tau. So,
it's been a long time since
watch out for him.
It's been a long time since South Africa have had a player who's been closely watched by the rest of the continent as Percy Tau is at the moment. So we're certainly looking forward to Bafana's challenge come AFCON 2019. Of course, we're getting closer to the spectacle over in Egypt. For now, though, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have a look at what Europe has had in store for us up till now.